on TSN's Rod Smith, of course, good Nepean lad. We're going to talk some CFL right now and resumption potentially of the season, hub cities, the Edmonton Eskimo nickname controversy. But first and foremost, as we say, good morning to Rod Smith and the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. We've got to know how the hair is going. How's it going, Rod?
You got to know how the hair is going.
Yeah, well, I saw the pandemic hair during the Sports Center hit. So where are we at right now with Rod Smith's hair?
Well, hopefully your evaluation is better than my mother's. So she lives in Calgary watching, and I was, it's funny how it goes a little grayer, and it was getting a little longer, and I've since had it trimmed up. But a lot of people's hair has changed, working in our basements, studios, and not able to get it cut. I finally was able to, so the hair is looking a little bit better. I'm looking a little bit older, though. I think the pandemic's aged me.
There you go. Now, was there any thought at any point as it grew long and you're doing these television hits and everything, where you're going, I got to call somebody in here, or I got to do my own? Like, I got to manage this bad boy.
Well, I figured out a few things. One, of course, that for TV, it only gets you from the front. So if I could trim it up myself a little bit, and if I make a mess of the back of it, no one's going to know unless they turn around. So I can, well, except for my family, of course. So, and just, develop my skill set now is just grab a blow dryer and just push everything back. It's just all blown back.
Yep.
And throw a little hairspray on and all these little TV trays. But no, I mean, I managed. A lot of people were managed, and it was more entertaining watching, to see what some of my colleagues were doing too, and trying to handle all this as their hair got longer, as they got their sons or daughters or spouses to cut it or try to do it themselves, as I did a little bit, which is very, very little, because that could have been a big disaster. But it's forced us all to be a little bit more independent, though, hasn't it?
And
you guys, I understand, because Hammer was telling me you guys, J.R. Simmer, you're still in studio. All this time you've been in studio, right?
Yes.
I've been forced into your homes to do shows.
No, we're all in three. We're in three separate studios, so we got a pretty good physical footprint here. It's a very large building. Most of the office staff have not been here for the last 3 months,
right?
But in terms of broadcasting, and this is just my personal feeling, I like coming into work, to be honest with you. I don't like to work at home, so... that's different for everybody.
We had also one night or afternoon after the show, Rob, we made a pact. We'd all go down and shave our heads, go down to the wood. Hammer and I showed up the next day down to the wood, and JR looked like he went for some salon job. So anyway.
Oh, no.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he sandbagged you.
Exactly.
He agreed to do it, and then he
exactly.
didn't. Okay. So, yeah. I call it Studio B, my basement. I'm getting a little tired of it now. I like this room. It's usually my little sanctuary, but when you're working here all the time as well, after that, once work is done, I get out of the basement and just try to be at some other part of the house or outside, of course.
Yeah. So on a personal note, one of the things that has changed in the 3 or 4 months since you didn't know football in a long time, but Chris Cuthbert has left TSN. He's moved on. And so a play-by-play job, I'm presuming, may have opened. I know you've done some play-by-play. Of course, your main mm-hmm. job has been hosting the CFL and TSN panel for several years now. I don't know if you can let the cat out of the bag. Have you expressed any interest in doing play-by-play? Are you happy on the panel? Like, where are you at on all of that?
It's a good question. I love doing play-by-play, and I did do a bunch of it. Going back even to the late 90s, I used to share the duties with John Wells and Gord Miller. And then that was before CC Chris joined us, even before Rod Black. But I'd also wanted to do studio work, and I've had kind of a mix of both. And I will say this, that in the limited amount I've done it in the last few years, because I do the hosting duties as well, it's an absolute joy. I mean, in Ottawa, of course, is one place that's near and dear to come back and do games. So I love the balance of both. Nothing has been decided. I don't even know how much it's even been considered right now, because they don't even know if they're going to have a season. I hope this isn't the case, but I mean, it's possible that the next CFL game isn't until next June, in which case they get a lot of time to make up their minds.
Right.
And they have a lot of other people with Rod. I mean, Dustin Nielsen in Edmonton did some games last year. I don't know about Gord's busy with hockey, and I assume would get busier once everything gets back on track again. So I really don't know, but sure, it's something I'd consider. I love doing it, but I also love the guys in the studio too. So just being around the league and watching games, as long as I get to do that, I'm happy.
Yeah, somebody's got to keep Henry Burse in line. We can't do it all the time here in Ottawa.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I would think, as a broadcaster, though, when you think about the very short list of guys who've actually called Grey Cup games in this country, like Chris has done it obviously forever, and Don Whitman springs to mind, Don Chevrier back in the day. Like, it's not a very long list of guys who've called our national championship game.
No, and it's a big one. It's the biggest for me. I'm, as you mentioned, the P, and I grew up in the P, and I'm an Ottawa boy, and cheered for the Rough Riders, and I even go back as far as remembering Russ Jackson playing. And to me, the Grey Cup is the number one thing. I love hockey. I mean, it's kind of a one and one A, and of course, you know what, you know, and love other sports as well. But to me, CFL, I mean, that was the time when Ottawa was the big ticket. I mean, I explain that to people now, that the number one thing in Ottawa sports back when I was growing up was the CFL, was the Rough Riders. I mean, times have changed, you know, and kind of changed back nicely too when the Red Blacks, you know, when Ottawa football returned in 2014. But still, Grey Cup means a lot to me. And yeah, I mean, when you talk about those names that have called, like, it's iconic broadcasters, and that would be a treat. If I ever had a chance to do that, that'd be a career highlight.
Talking to Rod Smith, the host of the CFL on TSN. So you brought up the issue of when are we going to see games, and that is the million-dollar question. I mean, you're at TSN. They've got all the broadcast rights, so I'm sure they are talking to the CFL daily, trying to figure out what is going on. The latest is the thought, Rod, of a six-game season, maybe games all played in a hub city like Winnipeg or something like that. In your opinion, does a season of six games, does that constitute something that you would consider to be adequate when it's regularly 18 games?
Yeah, is it viable, right? Is it? I mean, can you take it seriously enough? To me, it is, just because, and I'm a little biased here because I love the game and the league and its history and everything else. It's a giant asterisk, just like when Washington won the Super Bowl in the 1982 season. The strike eliminated half the season. I think they only played nine games, and so, I mean, I don't know how many people remember that now. That's, you know, we're talking almost 40 years ago. But I still think anything, if they can do it sensibly and safely, anything is better than nothing. And so I'm in favor of it. I mean, sure, you could easily criticize it, but boy, we can criticize a whole bunch of things during this pandemic. We're in the midst of something that we never have been in our lifetime. So a lot of things are going to be different. There are going to be a lot of asterisks, you know, out there, certainly if they're able to get these sports played. It's just a different time. And I think if you can do it and make sense of it, and then the number one thing, of course, make sure everybody is safe while you're doing it, then, you know, plow through it and try to salvage something from it. I'm in favor of that.
Yeah, and you go back to 82. Hey, that's a lockout in control, and we can't control this. And I didn't even remember that about 82. All I think is, Joe Theismann and the Redskins winning. You know, and so no big deal. Rod, for you played the game as well. Is it also, you know, we're trying to look at hockey, and I think the NBA is being a little bit greedy in the time. Is that about the max time that you could ask football players to hang around in one town, is anywhere between, you know, 7, 8 to maybe 12 weeks?
Yeah. I mean, it's such a good question. I'm assuming, and especially where money is involved in livelihood, if it means getting paid, and, you know, we're talking about a different scale with CFL than they would be with NHL or, you know, with other leagues where the money is flowing a lot greater, to be more worth their while to go inside a bubble for a while. I don't know. I that'd be hard, be away from a family, especially a young family, for that amount of time. This is unprecedented, isn't it? I mean, we just, all of these scenarios, all these possibilities, I mean, this is all new to everyone. So I imagine it'd be tough. I think I'd be able to do it. It's not ideal, but I'd want to play. As said, if it can all be done safely and sensibly, I'd still want to do it.
Yeah, you'd have to wonder, Rod, especially for the American players. I mean, the guys at the top of the pay scale, the quarterbacks, the Canadians, who are paid very well, at looking at making a third of what they would typically make. Well, okay, I can probably justify that. For a guy who's coming up here as a bottom of the roster American player who's making the league minimum of what is it, 60? Is it 60,000?
Or yeah,
60
that.
To 70. So if you're looking at making a third of that, 20 grand, take off taxes, take off your cost of living, there's got to be a lot of guys, I would think, that would that very seriously would have to wonder whether it's worth it or not.
And already we've seen that case. James Wilder Jr., who was with the Argos, was with Montreal, and decided the league has taken too long to decide. Not that it's really in their hands right now, because they can't. I mean, they couldn't. There's nowhere they could play right now until things are opened up a little bit more. but they want a definitive word and they're not getting it. And so some players are getting a lot more restless about it. And I really wonder if we see, because of what you just talked about, because of that pay scale, I think, you know, there are a lot of players, particularly American players, are going to decide this isn't worth it and are going to just step back from the game. And that may force the league's hand too. I think really, my guess anyway, is sometime in July, this has to be decided one way or the other. Are they going to be able to do it or not? Because it's just going to get too late even to salvage a six-game season with maybe an expanded playoff. You know, with players having to come north and quarantine for 14 days, of course, and there's so many important players from the United States that, you know, the CFL is dependent on. This is a tough situation. And yeah, when the money isn't nearly as good, I can see how a lot of players have decided it's not worth it.
Yeah, I kind of have a bit of the reverse, Rod. I look at a lot of these players in the United States probably are not working. You also had a league that folded not too long ago. If you came up and played and brought back 15 or 20 grand U.S. In this time to get yourself through the winter, I'm kind of thinking that a lot of guys might be lining up to do it.
Well, that's interesting. You may be right. I mean, and...
Like most of these, and no disrespect, there's some that have careers, hey, that have been smart and, you know, the gold days. I love Jeff Avery talking about, hey, the great part was you played and you worked and he's had a great career. But there's also an awful lot of those guys that probably don't have anything going on.
True. And I guess as a part of this, too, is risk management. I mean, obviously, I mean, with what's going on in the United States, like even as I look at that, I can't imagine. I'm thinking it's riskier going inside a bubble in Canada, say in Winnipeg, where the you know, there are very, very few COVID cases. I don't even know how many active COVID cases they have right now in all of Manitoba. So, because, you do see in other leagues where players are also deciding, like David Price, for example, that it isn't worth the health risk, and they're, I'm sure, giving up a lot of money for that. But, yeah, you know what? I hadn't thought of it that way, that there still is some money, and if there's no money at all where they are, at least there's a chance to go and even to salvage a little bit if they can do it and get paid.
Talking to Rod Smith from the CFL on TSN, as we mentioned, you played the game and played the game at a decently high level as well. I'm sure you've seen maybe some of the prototypes we've seen for the potential of masks inside football helmets where I mean just from the physical exertion to be from a lineman to wearing something either covering your mouth and nose or just something very close to it. Is it realistic to put a mask on a football player?
To put, maybe because I had read about to put like plastic, you know, those full shields that some players do have.
Yeah.
And never having worn one when I played, and I played at the college level, but I'm just wondering what the air circulation would be like, you know, the breathing, everything else. It's not something I've experienced or, you know, even in hockey too, where I'm sure to some hockey players, and we've seen them full face shields or full glass, how that does restrict breathing or how it makes breathing that much harder to do, I don't know. But I think a lot of people would have the attitude, whatever it takes, if this is what we have to do to play. And again, if it's safe to do, if they can do it, it's not ideal. But I think a lot of the circumstances in this year, if people are going to try to do what they've done in the past, and it's obviously hampered by this global pandemic. I think a lot of people are just going to take the attitude, whatever it takes, if it can be done, it's a sacrifice. But there's a lot of that going on right now.
If the CFL's in a bubble, Rob, would you look at a mask or something like that as probably not as big a deal? But if you're the National Football League or college trying to pull this off and traveling all over the place, that you might have to step this up to another level?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love football, but this is the one sport that I must admit, I look at it and I do wonder, you know, unless it's in a very, very secure situation like a bubble, you can just easily see it spread from player to player if somebody happens to have it, just because of the proximity. I mean, the blocking, the tackling, all that regular contact, and even the enclosed dressing rooms, which I assume they would have a plan to get a dressing room situation where you could physically distance maybe every second stall. I mean, it's just the proximity. Like, you know, we're seeing golf back and we're seeing, you know, soccer back now. And yeah, athletes do tend to get closer with that. But you can see, obviously, golf, for obvious reasons, is a sport that you could get going again because the players don't have to be that close together. But in football, as I say, of all sports, this is really tricky. And I'll be curious to see if they are actually able to play this season. I mean, if they're able to get it done safely.
And, Rod, behind the scenes, sheer numbers, and I saw the University of Maryland back in the day, one of the things I thought was the coolest was the day of the game, how many people they had in trying to tape all the athletes. Between taping and treatment and showering,
yeah,
there's no chance that you're ever going to be able to restrict distance, at least amongst your own team, is there?
I can't see it. I don't know how you do it. I'm sure there are a lot of good minds working on it and thinking of ways that they can keep players further apart until the actual game situation. So, I'm sure they're thinking of ideas to do it, and they're probably things that are going to be mandated that they're going to have to do in order to be allowed to play. And it's forcing people to be innovative, isn't it? I mean, except for that one thing. I mean, you can't physically distance in a football game. It goes against everything that the game is. So I'd love to see it happen. I just don't know exactly how it's going to play out.
Talking to Rod Smith in the CFL on TSN. So while all these decisions are being made, in the times we're in right now, especially in the last few weeks, one of the other controversies, and the Edmonton Eskimos are swirled up in it as well, is the idea of team nicknames. We're certainly seeing it play out with Washington in the NFL, with Cleveland in Major League Baseball, and has resurfaced now again with the Edmonton Eskimos. Do you think the at the end of the day, Rod, the CFL will step in and make the decision for Edmonton, or do you think they want to leave it with the Eskimos organization themselves?
I haven't talked to Randy Ambrosi about it, who used to play for that team, by the way. I truly believe that the CFL will leave it in the hands of the Edmonton organization. At least that's been the way it is, you know, so far. Now, that said, there is a sponsor that has threatened to pull out, and that's a team sponsor, I believe, of the Eskimos, unless they do change the name. So this is the first time things have reached, you know, a level of a financial consequence for a team. I haven't had any indication at all that the league plans to intervene. I think it's still in the hands of the Edmonton organization, and they for now anyway, they plan to keep the name. But I think, you know, in recent circumstances, I think they are, and I think they should be considering it more now than they have before. And they said they continue to reach out into the Inuit community and try to gauge how offensive people feel that that nickname is. They say that in their research before and on all their reaching out, that they couldn't get a consensus, and they did get a lot of support for it within the Inuit community. But there are certainly dissenting voices too, and they have to be taken seriously.
Would something like that, Rod, be, you know, financially a lot? Well, obviously merchandise has already been printed. Anything done would have to be thrown out. But just overall, like anything from your literature to signage and everything else, on the CFL scale, would that be a fairly expensive proposition?
I really don't know. I mean, it's a good question. If they will, for example, their logo, EE, there have been a lot of suggestions, change it to Empire, or change it to something else with, you know, that begins with the letter E, so therefore you don't lose that EE logo, which is actually the most significant logo for the Edmonton organization, that, you know, the green and gold EE. So I think to some people, especially the proponents of changing the name, they don't think, in terms of the logo, that it would be a big sacrifice. But I'm sure there is some. I'm guessing there's some, you know, financial pain that that they would have to endure. I know that's probably been the argument of those who don't want to see the names changed with Washington's football team or Cleveland's baseball team. But, you know, we've seen, you know, teams change names before, and they seem to be fine. It happened in the NBA with Washington when they used to be called the Bullets, and they found that it was just, they didn't believe it was an appropriate name anymore, so they changed it to the Wizards. And other circumstances, you know, in the NBA with Charlotte and New Orleans, different circumstances, not because of controversy, but you know, the Hornets name has moved around back and forth. And you know, and even in the CFL, I look at the success story of Ottawa, and once again, different circumstances. I believe when they came back, there certainly was a faction of people that wanted to see the two-word Rough Riders brought back when the team came back in 2014. For a few reasons. I think one, actually, I used to hear that it was that legally they couldn't do it. I know Saskatchewan was dead set against it, and so they went with a different name. And and it's worked out. I think in the short term it'd be difficult, but I don't think I don't think long term it would hurt the organization if they do it, if they do decide that that's something they have to do.
All right, to wrap up, I know TSN's trying to keep the CFL kind of alive and front and center in fans' minds. We're still seeing old-time games played on Friday nights, and you guys are also doing a weekly show with Hank and Milt and all the guys, keeping everybody up to date. Tell everybody about that.
It's called CFL 2020, and yeah, I mean, they haven't made a decision on the season yet, so we're still plugging along and, you know, with the hope that they will somehow be able to play. So we're doing previews of every franchise, and we're dwelling on one team per week. So we haven't done the Red Blacks yet. It's the Montreal Alouettes this week, because it'll be, I think, the fourth or fifth show that we've done, but that's coming up, I think, at 7:30 tomorrow night. So it's been fun to do, just to have, you know, everybody on a Zoom chat and just talking football again. I know we've been asked why we're doing it if we don't even know the league is playing, but we're trying to be optimistic here, and it's just fun talking about the CFL.
Keep hope alive, and more importantly, at some point for Rod Smith, get Rod Smith out of his basement. We got to start a petition.
Right.
Get Rod out of his basement somehow, some way.
At least it's not my mom's basement, but still,
there you go.
Probably a good idea.
All good. Listen, really appreciate the time, man. Good to catch up with you. Hope to see you on our television screens full-time with some CFL football in the not-too-distant future, and thanks for the time this morning.
Yeah, I really appreciate the time, guys. Thank you.